Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Pro football full circle.
Stafford keeps his Rams at the line. Third down and 10. Well protected. Steps up. Launches deep down the right numbers. All alone. DeSean Jackson over the shoulder at the 30. He weaves his way to the end zone. Touchdown, LA. 75 yards.
A 66-yard drive. Tucker's kick is on the way. It is
good.
Off the crossbar, and it tumbles through. It is good. Time has expired. Justin Tucker with the longest field goal in NFL history. The hay is in the barn, and it's mayhem on the field.
Well, week number three is in the books. Welcome to Pro Football Full Circle right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius Channel 204. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz recapping an amazing weekend of NFL action. Great games across the board. You heard in the intro, Matt Stafford and the LA Rams do prevail against Tom Brady and the crew as a 1.5-point underdog. Did get that victory yesterday. Last night, Aaron Rodgers steps up 32 seconds. Seconds left, trailing by a point, hits Devontae Adams, puts his team in a position for the game-winning field goal. Green Bay prevails 30-28. George, fantastic finishes right down to the wire in week number three of the NFL season. But we also saw Justin Tucker, an NFL record. Are you kidding me, man? 66-yarder to get the victory over Detroit. An amazing weekend of NFL action.
Yeah, I had a buddy over, and he's a Detroit Lions fan. That did not go well. He is still complaining about that last drive, how, oh, you know, the first three downs, they send an extra rusher, and they get Lamar Jackson's 4th and 20. The last down was, 4th and 19. They only send three. They let him sit back there forever. And it's like, oh, my God. He's right, mind you, because that's exactly what happened here. But he's still mad about this. It's like you're trying to point out to him that, hey, you know, Detroit's going to be they're terrible anyway. You'll get a good draft pick again this year. We had a good draft pick every year. We screwed up every damn year. I mean, it was a fun little tirade. You have to feel bad for Lions fans. And it's even more, funny, ironic coincidence that the last time Baltimore came to town, Tucker also hit a 60-plus yard field goal to beat them. Unbelievable.
Yeah, unbelievable action. And we talked about, the marquee games of the afternoon, right? L.A. and Tampa Bay. We also talked about Green Bay and San Francisco. We're going to get into it a little bit deeper. But there were two impressive wins for me that stood out above the rest. And that's not to take away from the teams that won yesterday on top of the Chargers knocking off Patrick Mahomes. But the two games that really stood out for me, one in the early action, the 1 o'clock window, was Buffalo and Josh Allen. The way they were able to just dominate from the get-go. He did throw for 358 yards, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. We talk about top defenses in Washington to just get blitzed by Buffalo 43-21. That stood out for me in terms of just a dominant offense and defensive effort by the Buffalo Bills. The other one was in the late window. We had some great action, but the way Minnesota manhandled the Seattle Seahawks, I mean, they were underdogs in that ball game. They had lost two tough ball games to start the year against Cincinnati and Arizona, but to run at will on that front seven against Seattle and pick up that victory 30-17. I mean, even though Russell Wilson threw for 298, only had one touchdown pass, that offense and defensive line for me stood out for Minnesota. So those were the two key victories that I saw in NFL week number three.
Yeah, Minnesota's, it was more impressive when you think that, you know, Seattle got off to an early lead there. You know, they looked like they were going to take care of business again. The Minnesota wasn't going to play well again. And then for probably mid-second quarter on, it was all Vikings. I mean, all Vikings here. They had, Seattle didn't think that Madison could play, but they had no answer for Madison, who really almost ran at will here. It's almost like they took no Dalvin Cook, yes. You know, and they just took the foot up the gas or whatever. And I said, Madison had a field day there. So good for the Vikings. They desperately needed that. You know, 0-3 was not going to be very good for them. Seattle's got a little bit of a problem. 1-2, yeah.
Yeah.
Rams 3-0?
Yeah, what's the identity of Seattle? And that's the biggest thing, I think. When I look at Seattle, was there any residual effects from that loss to Tennessee last week, right? The way they lost. You had the ball game. You had the ball with your marquee quarterback in overtime. Couldn't come through. And then you lose that ball game by three. Had a 24-9 lead in that matchup, right? And the way they lost, to get outscored by Ryan Tannehill, I wonder if that carried through yesterday. But again, what is the identity? I mean, they don't run the football consistently. Chris Carson, 12 carries, 80 yards. They got away from the run because they were playing catch up. What does this offense look like in 2021 right now?
It's a fair question, and I think one they're wrestling with as well. We've known the Panthers generally been almost, even though they had Russell Wilson, it was still run first, and they changed up. They're going to put the ball in Wilson's hands more, and still not really working. It looked good for the first 6-7 quarters of the year. All right, now the last five, it really hasn't looked good. All right, they did have problems in that fourth quarter. You mentioned the overtime, and they had a chance to score. Any score would have won them the game, and they didn't score. And then yesterday, after the first quarter, it wasn't good at all. So they've got, I don't know how to want to call it an identity problem, but right now they have to figure out more of a way to play four quarters of football here. Maybe they're trying to appease Russell Wilson too much and that sort of thing. They've got to find a happy medium. I think Seattle will be okay. But that division, you can't fall behind like this. I don't know who they're playing next week off, and they were to lose again. It's going to be very hard to catch the Rams, catch the Cardinals. Even the 49ers are a game ahead.
Yeah, it's incredible. We'll see how this plays out for Russell Wilson. Putting up numbers right now through the air, but the team's not winning ball games. That's what matters most. When George and I come back, we'll get into Pittsburgh. We'll get into Indianapolis next. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius Channel 204. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Back on Pro Football Full Circle, Joe Lisi, George Kurtz ripping down week number 3 of the NFL action. Talked about the marquee games in the first segment. Going to talk about some stinkers, right? Big Ben Roethlisberger and the crew were 3-point favorites over Joe Burrow. They knocked that line down to just in the area of about 2.5 before kickoff. And lo and behold, Joe Burrow and Zach Taylor walk into Heinz Field and come out with the 24-10 victory. Burrow, a solid day, 172 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 INT. Roethlisberger, he turned into his arch nemesis, Rottenberger, 318, 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions. Pittsburgh still not running the football effectively. Najee Harris, 40 rushing yards on 12 carries. Steelers only had 45 yards on the ground. This team is in trouble. And when you look at week number 4, George, already 7-point underdogs on the FanDuel Sportsbook to Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. It's a road trip in Lambeau. This is an uphill battle for Mike Tomlin and the crew.
Oh, I think you described it correctly. They're in trouble. They are in trouble. I don't know if Roethlisberger's going to get any better. I mean, I think he's gone. I think the days of him being productive are gone. He's gotten older. He's got the injury to his arm, / shoulder, / elbow, whatever it might be, and that's not coming back. All those receivers got hurt yesterday as well, either before the game or in the game here. T.J. Watt's banged up. I think Watt will give it a go on Sunday, but I don't know how effective he's going to be with that groin injury, and they need him. That's obvious. They need him. Without him in that elite pass rush he brings there, the quarterbacks have all day to throw there. You know, so that they have a lot of issues in Pittsburgh now, and I don't know how that's going to be helped here. Najee Harris looks to be a great pick, right? Caught 12 balls yesterday, which all tells me all I need to know. Ben was keeping everything short because he can't throw the ball into the secondary.
And let's be honest, that's Cincinnati's defense. And I know statistically against the run, they were in the top 10. So they were playing very well entering that ballgame. But that being said, in terms of the identity, if you're checking down and everything's into the short to intermediate routes in the flat, You're not stretching defenses vertically. You know Aaron Rodgers is going to attack that secondary in that ball game early and often and say, you know what? Try and match us score for score. Now, this is an uphill battle. I mean, when I look at this team overall, major issues. We said it at the start of the year. What is the identity? Would that arm hold up? It held up for 12 games last year, and then he fell off a cliff. Right now, after three games, he's exposed. So is there any way Pittsburgh can win this game this coming weekend? Because in order for them to win, the only way I look at it is let's get into a lower scoring game, try to run the football and pull this game out 16-13 on the road.
I mean, once again, the players have to come back healthy. We don't even know who's going to be healthy, right? Watt, the wide receivers. Smith-Schuster left the game yesterday, right? Johnson was hurt before the game. Claypool was banged up during the game. So really, before you make any judgments on Pittsburgh, you need to find out who's playing this week. Roethlisberger, I know he's got the chest injury, and he's going to let you know that he's got the chest injury. It's the way he is. Like the Janelle I'm playing here. Can't stand this, man. So I don't know. He's probably the player I hate most. I mean, really, I have a deep hatred for him, really for what he's done in his past.
Tell us how you really feel.
Yeah, I'm not afraid.
Don't hold back. Don't sugarcoat it.
Don't like the man at all. And it's not really all about what he does on the football field. It's more like what he's done in his personal life that makes me dislike him completely. And I just hate the kind of person he is. Like I said, I had no doubt once we heard about the pec injury that he was going to come out and tell you. Because he wants you to think that he's a hero. Oh, you know, I'm playing through this. I'm playing through that. You know, he wants you to think. He's one of those people who has to let you know that he's banged up. You're a football player, Chief. We all know you're banged up. Every football player is banged up. It's the nature of the game. It's why you'll never hear me complain about a football player making, you know, mega bucks. Because their quality of life is never the same due to this game. We enjoy it, but they're all banged up to hell. So I hate the man. I do. But on the football field, I just don't see. I mean, Green Bay is not a great team, but they seem to be healthier. I know they have some offensive line issues, and if Watt is healthy, he'll take advantage of that. But it's a tough go. To go to Green Bay, you're going to beat the Packers. Not with this team, not the way it's currently constructed. I don't see it.
I don't see it either, to be honest with you. I mean, you might want to look at the under just because 45.5. I mean, Pittsburgh's defense is good and solid. They're going to keep everything in front of them. The way Aaron Rodgers played last night, 261, two touchdowns, no interceptions. I mean, he is so dialed into Devontae Adams as well. Even when Adams got hurt in that fourth quarter, he still found him over the middle of the field, key throw, like a dart.
Might want to double him, San Fran.
He was doubled. They were playing zone
then
over
triple
the...
him. Don't play zone.
I know. 12 catches for Adams. 12 catches for Adams. 132 and a touchdown. It's amazing. It's like he is the best player. He is so zoned in to Devontae Adams. But I will give credit. He hits Alan Lazard to start that game. Hits Valdez Scantling later in the ball game. Another beautiful pass. He was dialed in last night. Great performance by Aaron Rodgers. In this matchup, I think they start fast. Again, you're playing at home. It's a 4:00 kick. This is tough. This is tough because I can't see Pittsburgh going on the road. The only way you could do it is if your defense has an unbelievable performance, and with the injuries, going to be very difficult. We'll break this game down later in the week, but that's an early look. Green Bay, 7-point favorites, -110 on FanDuel. We'll see how that game plays out later this week. The other matchup, Tennessee. I mean, they were in striking distance. Indianapolis was. They had it. They trailed by 8 points. They kick a field goal to go down. Trail by 9. Kick a field goal to go down by 6. And then Tennessee comes back. Kicks another field goal to ice it. 25-16. Carson Wentz. This is the guy you wanted, Frank Reich. You lobbied for this guy. He was going to change the complexity of the offense. You had to have him. You had to have him. $41 million tied to Carson Wentz. Hurts both ankles right now. It doesn't matter. He could have been out there on a 7-on-7. He still wouldn't have completed more than 19 or 37 passes, 194 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. Can't find his receivers down the field. Another one. Always checks underneath. This team is in disarray, and they're 2.5-point underdogs already on the FanDuel Sportsbook to my Miami Dolphins. I don't know who I believe in more, but I do feel the Dolphins are a more complete team right now. With or without Tua, it doesn't matter. I like Miami earlier on here over the Colts.
You also worried about Nelson with the Colts. I don't know if we've got an update on that injury here, which I really probably should look up, because I think it's a huge loss for them. The Colts, I think, are just a no-luck team. You know, that schedule we talked about many times. Brutal to open up the season, right? Five straight games where you can make an argument they're not going to win any of them. All right, and then you had the Carson Wentz injury. You had the Nelson injury as well here during camp. And there's a whole bunch of questions about Carson Wentz anyway. Yeah, you said it, and you're absolutely right, by the way. Frankly, I don't want to say push all the ships in the middle, but he pushed a whole lot of them in the middle on that Wentz is going to be the answer here. Because you got Rivers last year, and we had questions about him as well, but he got you probably about as far as he could get you. You know, maybe they should have beaten Buffalo in that game. All the stats tell you they should have, but you didn't. And they went at the Wentz, who's certainly a downgrade of some sort. The question was how much, and not working out. Not really working out. He's banged up. You could see it yesterday. He was pretty much hobbled. He was a statue back there. So it's going to be interesting. And now we're looking up Nelson. He's got a high ankle sprain, so that means he's probably going to miss some time. Generally, high ankles are, what, 4 to 6 weeks, depending on the, I guess, the severity of the sprain. That's your blind side. It's going to be hard to pick Indianapolis. And I got to wonder about the players, too, going, oh, 0-3. You kidding me? Now, I know Miami's not playing well. You know, they lost yesterday in interesting fashion. So I'm going to probably side with Miami as well. I doubt I'll bet this game. I doubt it, depending on what we hear here. But right. I'll probably lean towards Miami if I was.
Right. Well, here's the thing that I noticed about Indianapolis that I find interesting. They averaged 4.8 yards per carry yesterday. Why go away from the run? 87 rushing yards. I mean, if he is that banged up. And you look at the stat sheet, right? Michael Pittman, 6 catches in the ballgame. After that, we look at Hines, the third down back. He's second on that list with 5 receptions. Outside of that, Pascal, 2 catches. Jack Doyle, the tight end, who he loves his tight ends, did so in Philadelphia, 1 catch. Are you kidding me? You have to change things up, Frank Reich. You have to go to the strength of your offensive line and your team right now. Carson Wentz is not getting it done. When we come back, we'll break down the other teams in NFL week number 3.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Continuing the recaps of NFL action week number 3, we left off with Carson Wentz and the Indianapolis Colts. They are on the road this coming weekend against the Miami Dolphins. Both teams lost very close, tough battles. We're talking about the Colts. George, before we talk about the Miami-Las Vegas game, I mean, the identity of Indianapolis right now, they lose this game to Miami. Forget it. No shot at a wild card. Carson Wentz is going to hear it for the rest of his career that he can't really progress in terms of his development. I mean, maybe his first year or first couple of years in Philadelphia was an aberration. I don't know, but this is one quarterback that has gotten paid a lot of money up until this point, hasn't lived up to expectations, continues to get hurt. I mean, what do they do with this guy if they lose this ball game against the Dolphins this coming weekend?
Yeah, the further we get away from that first year, the further it looks like he's not that quarterback. That was the outlier. Yeah, I know injuries are taking a toll, no doubt. In that first year, maybe he would have won the MVP if he stayed healthy, didn't tear the ACL versus the Rams, but he did. And he has been the same since, right? He gets hurt a lot, really a lot. You know, it's not good. He just hasn't been able to overcome it for whatever it might be. I think part of it is mental as well. And I think it's a little unfair to judge him for this year because, once again, first year with the new team could take some time. Could take some time to know everybody, to get the chemistry and know the offense completely, although he should know it's a Reich offense there. So maybe he should be graded on a curve, but we don't do that in the NFL. We don't have time to do that in the NFL. Reich doesn't have time because, listen, you're already all over him now. National media is going to do the same thing because they already know that he wanted Wentz. They could have gotten somebody else, but they wanted Wentz. You know, and now, if it's not going to work out, Reich's going to have to answer some questions. What are you going to do at quarterback? Are you going to eat it now and, go at Wentz again next year? Also, he plays a certain amount of snaps. It's going to cost you that number one pick. So you're not going to go out and draft one anyway. Right now, I think he's at 97.65%, if you're keeping track of that. If he plays more than 75%, bingo, it's a number one pick. If they make the playoffs, then it's now more than 70%. That doesn't look like it's going to happen right now, so it'll be at 75. You know, it'll be some interesting decisions later on in the year. Especially, of course, it continues to be banged up.
Well, think about this. They're off to their worst start, the Colts are, since 2011. And if you want to get a gauge about the sentiment and an emotional mindset of this team, this came from CBS in terms of Colts linebacker Darius Leonard. Starting 0-3, it just sucks. You know, we got to find a way to get a win. So they lose this ball game on the road. Now, back-to-back road games. You go from Tennessee, a blue-collar team, to now Miami, another blue-collar defense. You can't run the football consistently. Quentin Nelson's banged up. You have a banged-up quarterback. No answer behind that with Jacob Eason. Supposedly, I still think he's your best option right now. And Brett Hundley, that they signed, we'll see what transpires the rest of the week if he can get healthy for this ball game against the Dolphins. Let's look at that matchup in Las Vegas yesterday. Miami was a 3.5-point dog. They had a 14-0 lead over the Raiders. But somehow, some way, Derek Carr and the crew, they crawl back into this ball game, right? And do win it right before regulation, 31-28. Chucky's 3-0. If you would have played Las Vegas in terms of the win total, 6.5, it was actually 5.5 in some books, George, over the summer, which is unthinkable when you think about it. You're halfway there. And now they have a marquee battle against the L.A. Chargers, a 2-1 versus a 3-0 undefeated Raiders team Monday night, October 4th. 3.5-point dogs. This team is playing with house money right now. I'm really buying into what Mike Mayock and Chucky have done with this offense and defensive scheme.
Yeah, I don't blame you. It's amazing what they've done. And they've beaten three. Think of the teams they've beaten. The Ravens, yes, I know the Ravens haven't looked like great. The Steelers, I get it, but they did beat Buffalo. Yesterday over Miami. And if they ever get off to, forget hot starts, just an average start in the game, they'll be even more dangerous, right? They didn't play well in the beginning against Baltimore. Didn't play well yesterday in the beginning. The pick six, which I would like to hear an explanation on that pick six, by the way. Was it Carr's fault? Was it Moreau's fault? Because Moreau stopped his route. Was he supposed to? Did he screw Carr over by doing that? That sort of thing. I was curious of what happened there. So, as I said, it takes them a while to get going, but once they do, all of a sudden, they're very difficult to stop here. Ruggs looks like a different player there. Carr, he's throwing for 1,000 yards every game, it seems like there. Interesting. I still do not think they're a great team, but they're winning games. They're winning games, and right now teams aren't able to stop them. So they're going to cruise, I'm guessing, past that win total, 5.5 or 6.5, whatever you got it at here. I don't see them going, 2-15, though. Well, not 2-15, 2-12 the rest of the year.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. The secondary was the main cause of concern, right? Because of lack of pass rush, that secondary was abused last year in 2020. That's the main reason why they didn't make the playoffs, even a wild card. Finished at 8-8 overall. But I'll say this. First three games, granted that first game against Baltimore, they were abused in the first half. They made adjustments. They held Jacoby Brissett in Miami 197 yards passing yesterday, but more importantly, third down defense, 6 of 18 for the Dolphins. That's 33%. When you're getting off in terms of three and outs, that means more opportunity for Derek Carr in that offense. And I know that we said he's not an elite quarterback, okay? You can't put him up there with Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers. But now, back-to-back games over 380. I mean, that's not bad. That's what John Gruden wants for that offense. I mean, 386, completed 26 of 43, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. I'll take that any day of the week for my starting quarterback.
Yeah, you think? I think we'd all take that. Like I said, it's a transformation here. They're buying it. Maybe it's when they know the offense, whatever it is. Maybe they've hit teams at the right time. Whatever. It doesn't matter. They're winning football games. And now they're a threat. Right? They're a threat. I know it's very early in the season. I think the Raiders got to a 6-3 start last year before they imploded. So maybe it happens again. Maybe it doesn't. Hard to bank on them imploding again. Maybe they'll learn their lesson from last year. And that's why they'll improve. But right now, this is a solid football team. And they're playing. I mean, I think we all expected the offense to be at least decent, right? So it's more than decent now. But the defense is where we were worried about. This is what I was worried about with the Raiders. And they're not a sieve anymore. Yeah, they're not a sieve. They, I think they did fall apart late against Miami, let Miami have that final drive and have a two-point conversion, especially when we all knew that Brissett was going to keep running the ball until clock ran out or they took the ball away from him on that final drive. He was going to keep running it, and he kept doing it. Finally, he got in there. So, interesting, but I think the Raiders, I think overall, they're going to be a 9-8 team, so 10-7. I think they will come back down to earth, but that might get them in the playoffs.
Yeah, it was. I said it was regulation. It wasn't overtime. What I meant before the clock expired in the overtime period. They're 3.5-point dogs right now in terms of going on the road to the Chargers this coming Monday night. Plus 168 on the money line. I mean, it is a feasible option. I know it's Justin Herbert. I know they're coming off a very emotional win in Arrowhead against Patrick Mahomes and the crew. But I'll tell you what, the undefeated team catching the 3.5 early on, I like the way they're playing. They're playing with house money right now. How can't you like them with the 3.5 points early on? I think they can win this ballgame. They go 4-0. They are going to be playing with a ton of momentum and a ton of confidence, and that can only lead to Chucky getting, you know, more amped up, opening up the playbook. And when you have a quarterback that doesn't turn the football over, Carr playing very well early on. I knew we threw the interception yesterday, but I'll tell you what, he is confident going deep to Ruggs, going deep outside of Waller to those wide receivers. They could go toe-to-toe with the Chargers offense in this ballgame.
Of course, it's going to go toe-to-toe with Chargers defense. That's where the issue is there. But it'll be a good game. A game I'm looking forward to. I think it's in some ways a litmus test for both. Because, you know, you think about the Chargers real quick. They beat Kansas City, right? I know Kansas City, once again, is shooting themselves in the foot over and over again. Got to stop these turnovers. But still, teams taking advantage of it. Chargers, I mean, how'd you lose to Dallas at home to beat Kansas City on the road? Weird how that worked out. You would have thought it would have been really the opposite there. So I want to see sort of which Chargers team is real here, and I want to see which Raiders team is real. I have a funny feeling it'll just be a close game. We won't learn much as far as that's concerned. I'd probably edge towards the Chargers here, just because I think they're a slightly better team anyway, a better all-around team. So I'll give the Chargers the edge. But once again, it's a game I doubt I'm going to bet the game. I'll have some props going, but not the game itself.
Well, in terms of yesterday's game against the Kansas City Chiefs, they jumped up to a big lead, right? 14-0. Patrick Mahomes did tie it up, and then they did get the touchdown at the end of the ball game. They weathered the storm in the fourth quarter, right? They looked like they were going to, you know, give it up, and somehow, some way, Justin Herbert led them back, did throw for 4 touchdounds yesterday, 281 yards. Eckler, a pedestrian 11 carries, 55 yards on the ground. The biggest thing for me is, again, we talked about Kansas City as well. What is the identity? You can't fall behind each and every week. I mean, they did it week number one against Cleveland. They had enough firepower to pull that ball game out. Then they couldn't hold the lead against Baltimore, lose that ball game in dominating fashion in the fourth quarter, and then to lose this game at home. Do you think there's some uncertainty now? Now, we saw Andy Reid get sick at the end of that game yesterday. They came out and said he was ill, taken to the hospital, no preliminary results, at least from what I read. But this team does have some question marks. Offensively, they can't run the football. Defensively, they're allowing chunk yardage through the ground and over the top. I'm not so sure they can dominate and win the division like many thought at the start of the year.
Well, I think right now the problem is the offense moving the defense. Defense sort of is what it is, although you'd like to see more pass rush from that duo there when healthy. I think that's their problem on defense. That's what it's built on, you know, that sort of thing where it makes teams one-dimensional, where they're not going to run the ball, it's going to pass, we'll get those, you know, Frank Clark coming to get after them. Offensively, they have some issues, right? CEH put the ball on the ground again. Mahomes is throwing interceptions. This can't happen. We'll hope it's more after the break here. But Mahomes can't throw some of these interceptions, especially the no-look one. Stop with the crap.
Yeah, they're on to his game. You know, you could get burned throwing across your body. He's done it better than anybody in this part of his career. We'll see what transpires. We'll come back. We'll wrap up NFL Week 3.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Breaking down NFL week number three, we left off with the Chargers and Kansas City Chiefs. Big battle in Arrowhead. L.A. prevails as a seven-point dog. They got that line up to seven right before kick. They pulled that out. I mean, a dominant offense and defensive effort when it mattered most. When you look at Kansas City, though, George, they did pound the rock for 186, but they ran for those yards after they fell behind. And that, to me, is the biggest change, I think, when we look at this offense at the second half of last year and the early part of this year, right? When in the first eight games of 2020, when they had Clyde Edwards-Helaire healthy, they were running the football. They had a more balanced offense than what they do now, where they're more one-dimensional early, and then they utilize the running game. I think they have to go back to a more balanced approach. Run the football early on, and then that could open up play action. I don't know why they're doing it the other way around, where it's Patrick Mahomes on every play, and then we'll run when the defense gives us options.
Well, you look at the numbers yesterday. They ran the ball more than they passed it.
Yeah, but that was, if you look at the drives, the first couple of drives, it was all Mahomes. And then all of a sudden, when they fell behind and they were more of a catch-up type of mode, then they utilized Clyde Edwards-Helaire. They started last year running the football a little bit more balanced and then working off of play action. I think that's the difference when you look at both offenses this year compared to last year in the first part. Second half of the season, they became more one-dimensional.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to knock them for that. All right, the breakdown's fine here. I think what their problem is turnovers. We're not talking about any of this. They stopped turning the ball over. None of this. And some of the turnovers are just silly. All right, listen, you're going to fumble the soft ball sometimes. Edwards-Helaire maybe has a little case of the yips right now, but he's got to keep holding on to the football. The no-look interception that Mahomes threw, that has to stop. You're trying to hot dog a little bit. First of all, there was no reason to do a no-look there. The man, I figured who it was open by 10 yards. No one was around him. So there's no reason not to look at him. And yes, it was probably the receiver's fault, maybe more than yours, because it did go up his hands, but the ball was behind him. Yes, he probably still should have caught it. But still, maybe if you're doing a normal pass, not the no-look stuff, it would have been a better ball, easier for him to catch. So in my mind, that's the problem. They're hot dogging a little bit. The other interception he threw, yeah, it floated a little bit, but it's more of a normal interception. Maybe he didn't see the safety going over the top there on Kelsey. You know, but that one I can live with. But that first one, that just can't happen. That was in the red zone, or at least very, very close to the red zone as well. So you cost your points there. You know, so that in my mind, that's the issue. Last week with Mahomes, he was trying to make, I don't know what he was doing when he was falling down there, just throwing the ball up for grabs. That stuff can't happen. And you take those two away, we may be talking about a 3-0 team here. We're not panicking here. So in my mind, it's all about the turnovers here. They have to stop. And I think once again, Mahomes, there are times when you need to pull those rabbits out of your hat, right? But there are times where normal football players will get it done as well.
Well, we could tie it into this game in Big D, right? Big D, Dallas, 3-point favorites over the Eagles. I think they dominate this ball game here. I think they can run the football. I know last time Jalen Hurts was in Dallas, he struggled at the end of last year. I like the way that defense has looked for the Cowboys, especially with Micah Parsons helping out in terms of the edge. You get Randy Gregory back. Any way Philadelphia could pull out this victory against the Cowboys?
The biggest problem with the Cowboys is going to be that defensive line. All right, you mentioned Gregory is back, and I do think Micah Parsons is going to play a good amount of this game on the left side there. But after that, they're all hurt. I mean, the Cowboys, they're all hurt. I mean, it's amazing how many guys they've lost off this defensive line. So the interior is going to be a little weak, and I would expect Philadelphia to try to hit that. Try to run the ball. They're not the biggest team as far as running the ball off the middle with Sanders or Gainwell, for that matter. Those are small guys. They're not built to run out the ball off the middle. So maybe they're not, you know, Dallas is a good match for them. Yeah, right. They're going to run into the ball to the outside where Dallas should be okay at. Dallas, remember, no Keanu Neal tonight as well. Unvaccinated. He's a close contact. He won't play. So that's why I'm curious if Micah Parsons plays the left end, because maybe they want him to play linebacker because they're short there now. You know, Leighton Vander Esch and Jalen Smith are now going to pretty much play full time here in this game. So it'll be interesting to see how Dallas matches up here. But as good as Micah Parsons was last week rushing the passer, I can't see them giving that up. I just can't. You did mention that Hurts did not play well in that game in Dallas at the end of last year. So we'll see if that continues here at Monday night game, home opener for the Cowboys. Yeah, I think the Cowboys win.
Yeah, I do too. I'm going to tie it into the Chiefs because in week four, they're 6-point favorites. Win, lose, or draw for Philadelphia, it doesn't matter. I think they absolutely murder the Eagles next weekend. I don't even think it, that this game is close, laying less than a touchdown on the road. I don't care if it's Philly. I don't care if Philly knocks off the Cowboys. I don't care what happens. There's no way Kansas City is losing this game to the Eagles on the road. And I think they put up, 55 is the total. I think this game gets into the high 60s in Lincoln Financial, barring any bad weather. I'll just say that.
I mean, if I'm going to play devil's advocate, I might worry about Andy Reid a little bit and that his effect on the team if he cannot coach next week.
Well, then that's a perfect opportunity for Bienemy to step up and show that he's a head coaching candidate, right?
That's the optimistic viewpoint. The pessimistic viewpoint is everyone's thinking about Reid and maybe not on fully on football this week, which would be normal. That being said, everything on Reid is positive, right? There's nothing negative here. We think he'll be out. He'll be available. It's Monday. We don't know for sure yet. Otherwise, I agree. I mean, the Chiefs are the better team. Certainly not betting on Philadelphia next week. I think they're going to have problems all across the board covering those receivers and Kelsey for that matter. Everybody does. So it'll be a short week to boot. So yeah, I'll be with you on Kansas City next week. I don't know if I'm going to go 60 points, but I'll be with you on Kansas City.
Well, they laid a similar line to Miami last year. I believe it was 6.5 or 5.5. And they built a huge lead, Kansas City did. And somehow, in the second half, Miami covered that line in the fourth quarter. I mean, they were on cruise control in the second half. He hit Tyreek Hill, I believe, Mecole Hardman on big plays. I mean, it was a bloodbath. I think it's a similar type of situation. I can't see them going on the road being right now 1-2. You just lost a home game to L.A., a divisional opponent. You go on the road for a non-divisional opponent. I can't imagine you're not up for this game to want to just dominate and say, hey, we're back. This is what we can do. And the fact that you're laying less than 7, I mean, it just seems light to me.
Yeah, they're going to be an angry team. Absolutely an angry team. But Philadelphia's not a terrible team. Well, listen, we'll see more about Philadelphia tonight because we'll be able to see them prime time, see them live how they play. Plus, we don't know what injuries Philadelphia's going to get tonight. They're a banged-up team as well. On that offensive line, they might have some issues. And if they lose another guy or two tonight, once again, we'll feel much better about this. But I got KC winning the game no matter what. I think they're going to be angry. I think they're going to be I was going to use a term maybe I shouldn't use, but a very peed-off team, and they're going to want to take care of business here. They're not going to want to go 1-3. So they should come into Philadelphia, a lesser team. I think Philadelphia may be better than we're giving them credit for, but they're not Kansas City. Once again, they can't say it's all about the turnovers. You stop those, you're 3-0. So yeah. I have no doubt they'll beat Philadelphia.
It is separation Sunday, week four in the NFC West. We have Arizona as a 6-point dog on FanDuel facing off against Stafford and the LA Rams. They came off with that dominant win over touchdown Tom Brady yesterday. They're laying 6 at minus 106. Kyler Murray, you're going to catch him with the 6 points, minus 114 on FanDuel, total set of 54.5. And then Seattle, a 2.5-point dog on the road in San Francisco. You want to take Seattle, minus 105. You want to take San Francisco, minus 115. Total set of 52.5. Early on, I think I'm going to take the points in both. I think I'm going to take both underdogs with Arizona and Seattle. I like Wilson to bounce back in a big way in that spot. Short underdog, I don't care. I still think they're the more complete team. I didn't like what I saw out of San Francisco yesterday. They couldn't run the football. If you can't run it consistently, you're not going to be able to work off a play action. You become one-dimensional. And I think I have the better quarterback in Arizona here. I love the way Kyler Murray is playing. Lights out. He's mobile. He locates his receivers. I mean, everybody's going to concentrate on the win over Tampa Bay. But I still think right now, Arizona might be the more complete team.
Arizona's a good team, and they were hobbled yesterday, right? We know DeAndre Hopkins a little banged up. I think he's got some issues there. We don't know what his health will be for next week or how good his health will be. Hopefully he's closer to 100%. In fact, what he caught, 2 balls yesterday? Let you know all you need to know about his health there. So they need him there. Rondell Moore, what do you have, also 2 catches for 1 yard or something silly like that. So we'll see what's going to go on there. As far as injuries are concerned, about who's the healthier team. But Arizona's a good squad. The defense is playing a tick better than we thought. That being said, I think the Rams right now are they're a juggernaut, right? They're a tough team to control here. They're going to score some points. I think it's going to be points scored in this game. I don't think Arizona will be able to run the ball all that much to keep the pressure off. And they're a weird team. They're not giving the ball to Edmonds to run the ball anyway. It's more James Conner, who's really, you know, a jag. Nothing special here at all. So I'm probably either staying away or going with the Rams. I will probably go with the over in this game. I don't see how I'm going to stay away from that. As far as Seattle, San Francisco, I mean, wow, another game. Be really looking forward to seeing here. Does Seattle solve their problems? You know, are they going to I think they're going to try and pass heavy again. That seems to be how you beat San Fran, right? Go to that secondary. It's the weakest part of their team. And you saw what the Niners did yesterday, though. The Packers. Quick passes. Don't let that rush get going here. Don't take 7-step drops and be waiting 4, 5, 6 seconds back there. They're going to kill you. Quick little pass here, which doesn't fit their – their structure well, right? They want to go over the top with Lockett, with Metcalf. So the underneath stuff might be tough for them to hit, but I think that's what they got to try and do here. And once again, don't get away from the run game here. I think too many teams, just because you're down 8-9 points, it's early third quarter. I get it, you need to score, but if you're rushing the ball well, I think you put up the stat. Carson was, 80 yards on 12 carries? My God, it's like 7 yards a carry. Don't get away from it so quick.
I agree, and I think Russell Wilson needs to tuck it and run a little bit more. I mean, since they changed the offense, he's completely one-dimensional, sitting in the pocket. He's not breaking contain. He's not using his legs. He's not putting pressure on opposing defenses on the perimeter. I mean, you need Russell Wilson to be mobile to sort of loosen up opposing defenses. To your point about Arizona, though, you mentioned Hopkins, right? You mentioned Rondale Moore. But how about A.J. Green stepping up? How about Christian Kirk stepping up? I think that's the difference between the Cardinals and Rams is that, yes, you mentioned two marquee players that are stepping up and possibly the best wide receiver in terms of the game in DeAndre Hopkins. But A.J. Green caught 5 passes for 112 yards. Christian Kirk caught 7 passes yesterday. Even though Edmonds didn't run the football, he caught 7 passes for 49 yards. I mean, there is a multitude of weapons at Kyler Murray's disposal. And when you have an athletic quarterback that could tuck it and run, that puts a lot of pressure on Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey and that defense. I mean, he does have options outside of Moore and DeAndre Hopkins, doesn't he?
You need to get Hopkins going. All right, that has to happen. You're not going to survive without him. Like I said, he was banged up. We knew that going in. He was questionable to play here, and maybe he shouldn't have played after that performance. So I wonder how he's more banged up than they're letting on here. It's great to have other options there. You're also playing a terrible team. That helped as well. I don't know if they survived there. I guess they are a better team there, especially now. Once again, maybe Kingsbury doesn't make that decision to go for that field goal against the better team. But that was, I mean, come on. That was a poor decision.
Yeah, we'll see. Cliff Kingsbury rolling right now in Arizona, 3-0. When we come back, we'll give another week one line. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz right here on the grid. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Wrapping up today's show, we're going to talk about another Week 1 line. New Orleans did get a solid victory over Mac Jones and the New England Patriots. They were 3-point dogs. won that ball game 28-13. A pick six really changed the landscape in the third quarter. They're now 7.5-point favorites at home in the Superdome. This game is going to be played at home in Louisiana after Hurricane Ida. The New York Giants come limping in to New Orleans right now. 7.5-point dogs on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Minus 110 either way. Joe Judge has major concerns. What is the identity of New York? Can Daniel Jones lead this offense? Can he utilize the weapons outside of Saquon Barkley? I don't know, but I'm not taking the Giants plus 7.5 early on. I can only look to New Orleans. Dominant defensive effort. I think they handcuffed this offense of the Giants. I can't see them not covering this line next Sunday.
That place is going to be rocking, right? They'll be back in the Superdome there. They've already been cleared to play, so the game will be played in New Orleans. We'll be playing the Dome here. The fans will be going absolutely crazy here. So I think it's going to be tough on the Giants. That being said, I don't know how many points the Saints are going to score either. Still not a very good offense. The Giants did lose Blake Martinez for the year, ACL.
That's a tough loss.
That may be the most important loss on their defense. He's the signal caller there. That's going to be rough there for them to replace. They have issues on offense as well. We don't know about Shepard. He came out of the game. Everybody came out of the game yesterday. So the Giants are a beat-up team. I want to see who's healthy and who's not before making this, but I kind of lean towards the Giants not winning the game, but covering. I think plus 7.5 is a New Orleans team. It's not all that great. I'm just worried about the Dome impact and if Jones is going to do something stupid. Yeah, I could see that happening there. But I kind of lean towards the Giants covering here, but I'm not touching this until I find out more about their injuries. Like the Steelers, a lot of guys banged up. I need to see who's going to go and who's not. One thing about the Giants, they find ways to lose.
This could look like that game, what was it, about 8-9 years ago, Joe Horn, he put the phone under the field goal. This could be a blowout special. We'll get into this game deeper as the week progresses. For George Kurtz and our fantastic producer, Andrew Torres, I'm Joe Lisi. Have a great day, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.